Congregation, you remember how Isaiah began that beautiful chapter 53 with the question, who has believed? Who has believed our report? Who has truly, savingly believed that the report, the message of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ? What's your answer? Who has believed our report? And then the second question, connected to that, to whom is the arm, the strong arm of the Lord revealed? Did you encounter the Lord? You see something of His power, of His comfort, of His strength, of His wisdom? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Remember last sermon? Did your heart repeat after that? All we, like sheep, have gone astray, everyone turning to his own way in foolishness. Remember the shame, the feeling poor and needy, and then the wonder. But He has laid on Him, not on me, on Him, the iniquity of us all. Oh, that wonder of saving grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you know about that? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now that same chapter has also some unknown verses. One of those unknown verses, the text for this morning hour. Isaiah 53, this time verse 11. Isaiah 53 verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So far, the travail and the knowledge of the righteous servant. Again, the travail and the knowledge of the righteous servant. Two thoughts. Satisfying travail. See in our text how satisfying for himself the travail is. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He himself will be satisfied with his own travail. And secondly, justifying knowledge. The knowledge of the servant justifies many, as we see. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So the travail and knowledge of the righteous servant, satisfying travail and justifying knowledge. Congregation, but what is a soul? You have a soul, right? For eternity, a body and soul. But you don't only have a soul, you are a soul. You are a soul, Reverend, what is that? Well, I refer to Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So sometimes soul is your identity. It's just you, completely you, your whole essence, your entire being. My soul thirsteth for God. It's not only something in me, it's totally me. My whole existence, every piece of my heart and life is hungering for God. My soul thirsteth for God. So your soul is you, completely you. Every piece of you. Look at the text. He shall see of the travail of his soul. The Lord Jesus, the righteous servant, with his entire soul, with entire being, with his whole existence, he travailed with hard work, travailed with his soul, soul's travail. Like David's soul was thirsting, so the soul of the righteous servant, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, was laboring, travailing. He shall see of the travail of his soul. Travail is hard work. Travail is sorrow. Travail is painful. I studied the word a little bit. It's very deep. It's hard work. It's sweating. It's bleeding. It's giving everything up. It is committing yourself unto the Lord, giving everything of your soul. So the travail of the soul is the hardest work you can possibly imagine. To the Lord Jesus, he had travail of his soul, acts, every piece of his heart, of his existence, of his soul was involved in it. He gave everything he had. From the beginning of his life to the end. But of course, especially at the end of his life. We all think of the garden, right? How the Lord Jesus was shedding blood. The travail of his soul. He was anxious, sorrowful unto death on the cross. We think of those special words. Eloi, Eloi. Lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was laboring, he was travailing in his very soul. He gave everything up to his Father. Oh, the travail of his soul was intense, hellish agonies. He could not possibly work harder. Travail of his soul. And that in order to save sinners, he shall see. So the righteous servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall see it. He shall have a close look at what? What is he looking at? He is looking at his own work. He shall see of the travail of his own soul. The Lord Jesus was completely aware of his work. He did not ignore it. He did not sleep. He was not half conscious. No, fully conscious, fully aware. He saw, he looked at the travail of his soul. At the end of it, he looked back. He looked at what he did so far. And he said, I'm satisfied. What do you think of? Don't you think of the cross? One of those last words, the Lord Jesus looking back upon the travail of his soul and said, it's finished. That was not only a cold statement, it's done, it's over. He liked it himself. But satisfies in this text means he likes it. He is content. He rejoices. He is happy with it. Nothing is missing. Or glorifying God. So the Lord Jesus, at the end of his life, looked back and he saw the travail, the intense labor of his soul, and said, I'm satisfied with my own work. Now, can you say that? After a week of preparation, looking back, I'm happy with this work of preparation this week. I'm satisfied with my own work. I'm satisfied with my labor. I'm satisfied with my Bible reading. I'm satisfied with my prayers. I'm satisfied with my experiences. How can you be possibly satisfied? Always so many shortcomings, right? But the Lord Jesus, he was open about it. And he said, it's finished. I'm satisfied with the travail of my soul. It's a perfect mark. Now, not only the Lord Jesus himself was satisfied. Who else? Who else is satisfied with his travail? With the travail of his soul? Who else said, this is so beautiful. This is so full. That I rejoice. I'm satisfied with that. His Father. Not only the Lord Jesus himself said, I'm satisfied. The Father was. With that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. When he bore the iniquities of his people, then he laid on the iniquities of us all. God the Father was content. And that's why he rose the third day. Because the Father was satisfied with his Son and could say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So else, Christ was satisfied with his own work. He shall see, look, at the travail of his soul to be satisfied. The Father was satisfied. What about you? Are you satisfied with the travail of his soul? Do you say, I like it, I love it, I'm content with it, I approve of it, I believe in it, I don't need anything else but it. I see the travail of his soul, and I am satisfied. To come to the table that way, not satisfied with yourself, but satisfied with Jesus. Satisfied with his obedience. Satisfied with his suffering. Satisfied with his death. Satisfied with the labor of his soul, the travail of his soul, not being able to travail and work yourself, relying only on him and say, I lay in the midst of death, but I like that travail of his soul. I have not travailed enough. My soul was not involved enough. I have so many shortcomings. I'm not satisfied with myself, but satisfied with him. Or when you look into this spiritual mirror, you see yourself in a week of preparation. How can you possibly attend? You can't be satisfied, right? Your experiences, your tears, your emotions, your texts, your encouragements. I hope nothing satisfies. I think hopefully nothing does it. Only the travail of his soul. Oh, you poor and needy ones among us. You have tried to find something this week to be satisfied with. And now you sit in church in your pew and you say, I have nothing. I'm not satisfied. I hope you'll be satisfied this morning with the travail of his soul and have enough and be content with that sacrifice with the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we go to the second thought, look at the previous verse. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. So the Lord Jesus doesn't only see himself and his travail, he also sees his seed, his offspring, his children. He sees them. He has sacrificed his soul and he sees his seed. And he wants to see his seed, his result, his child at the table also this morning, to see his seed, to be satisfied with his own work and to see his children. Satisfying travail. Satisfied himself, the Father satisfied, and the church satisfied. Brings to the second thought. Does it say in the second part, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. By his knowledge. Before we go there, I have to explain something. What is the love of God? Is that the love from God, originates in God, given to his people, the love of God? Or is it the love God's children have for the Lord, the love not of the world, the love of God? Or is it God's love? It can be all of that. Well, that's also true for his knowledge. By his knowledge. What knowledge? The righteous servant has knowledge. He himself knows, but he also gives knowledge. And that knowledge is the knowledge of the Lord. Now what's meant here? I do not deny that God's children need to know things. Savingly. Revealed by the Holy Spirit, to know their sins, to know something of the Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the knowledge the Holy Spirit works in the hearts. Of course, they need that. But here, something else is meant. It's not the knowledge in the hearts of God's people, it is his knowledge. The knowledge of the Savior. Let me prove that. I think of Isaiah 11, verse 2. I will quote that. You're listening to that, may the Lord give that the hearts may be warm. And the hearts of God's people may go out unto him and say, that's him. How precious he is. Here is the text about the Messiah. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So the righteous servant, justified by his knowledge, is so wise, his understanding, his knowledge. That's the focal point. The Lord Jesus' knowledge. He knows how to do things. He knows things completely. And he also conveys to others of that knowledge. The most crucial text in this regard is Matthew 11. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. The Lord Jesus said, all comes from my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son reveal him. So the Father knows the Son knows the Father, and there is a people and they also know. They know God through him, through his knowledge. And that knowledge is a saving knowledge worked by the Holy Spirit in the hearts of God's people. A justifying knowledge. Justify many. The two words the same in our text, but not in our translation. So you don't see that. What do you think it is? My righteous servant justify many. Righteous and justify is the same word. The righteous servant makes righteous. The justifying servant justifies. There's justice, righteous in him. There's no sin. He has faithfulness. He's righteous himself. He is without sin in a perfect relationship with the Father. Have you discovered how little you know? You know yourself, dear child of the Lord, to a certain extent. You've humbled yourself before the Lord. You know something of the gospel. You know something, a little of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard his voice, the words of eternal life. And yet you must say, what do I know? I know so little. I'm only a beginner. And even the holiest of God's people is only a small beginning. But he is the righteous servant. He knows. He knows how to save people. He knows his Father. He knows good and evil. He knows things perfectly. And he is a substitute for the church. Adam and Eve, they knew things before the fall. And also that perfect knowledge, the Lord Jesus as well. And by his knowledge, he shall justify many. Justify, to declare free, to declare just, to set free. So you can't set yourself free, right? You feel being bound, you feel guilty, you feel your sins weighing upon your shoulders, your heart, your soul. You can't satisfy. You can't take them away. You cannot make yourself just. You cannot forgive yourself. But he does. He forgives the church. He shall see of the travail of his soul, shall be satisfied by his knowledge, shall my righteous servant, the Father speaking, he is my righteous servant, he will justify many. But the glorious, notice this. This sounds like victory. Shall justify many. Not just a single one here and there, no, many. And we know compared to the whole human race, is a few. Yet in our text it says many. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, that's close to the knowledge of one, shall many be made righteous. So unrighteous people, or rather, people that feel unrighteous, cannot justify themselves, may come to the table. If they have chosen right, and let the Father right, and say, I cannot justify myself, but he justifies. By his knowledge, that righteous servant, he can do it, he will bear the iniquities. He takes all the iniquities upon himself. Congregation, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who repeats after the heart, all we like sheep have gone astray? He turned everyone to his own way, but he has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For whom is this true? He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And I'm satisfied as well, because that righteous servant, I'm not righteous, the righteous servant shall justify many. He bears their iniquities. He takes it all away. And that's exemplified at the table, that he takes it away. Or may the Lord give that looking away from self and that looking upon him who travailed with his soul. The Father was satisfied. He was satisfied. Hopefully you are as well. Amen.